Hello, everybody. Welcome to Yachting International Radio. You've tuned in to Tailor Tech Stories. And today we have Douglas Vincent from Spinlock. He's the industrial and technical salesman. And he's here to tell us his story about his career. But Douglas, if you want to just introduce yourself first, and then we'll go into what's happened in your career, that would be brilliant.
Yeah, well, thanks very much for having us. Name's Doug Vincent. Excuse children noises running around the background. Like many of us, we have locked in animals at home. Yeah, I work for Spinlock. I work in the industrial sales department, dealing with technical sales, as well as developing new business for Spinlock as well in different sectors other than the traditional leisure marine side. Yeah, going through from that, really.
Right, okay. So let's rewind. And where did you kind of start out? Where did you come from? What's the kind of first job that you do?
Yeah, I really came from the super yacht sector as my first real work. Went to university and did way more sailing than learning in Portsmouth. Did a lot of racing out of Hamble and around the UK. Three great years of doing sailing all the time, basically, and not enough university would be what I'd be telling my children. And then from there, just managed to do a lot of charter work and jump on my first ride across the Atlantic on a small Geno 49 with a group of people, a lot of smelly bodies on a boat for 30 days going across the Atlantic. And from that point, you know, just discovered that people actually earn money on boats really properly. I think that was, I got dragged across the islands, kicking and screaming in the Caribbean, and got dropped off in Antigua. And then, you know, Antigua is just such a great place to see the super yachting world and industry. Did a lot of day working in Antigua and decided that was where I was going to sort of head off to rather than the university careers I was looking at.
Yeah, that's understandable, isn't it? So once you're over there, you kind of discover yachting and you start to dabble in these kind of day-to-day jobs. And then I'm guessing it gets more seriously into yachting. Do you go into crew or
yeah, I was it was at the time when the STC W95s were just really coming in strong. So it was hard to find a full-time job. So yeah, so I'd done a lot of day working. I'd practiced a lot of sanding and a lot of chamois around the boats. I got good at that, and I had a good idea. You know, Antigua, there's always people helpful there to get your CV up to scratch. I was living on a shoestring, but that wasn't a problem at the time. I lived on a shed on the beach, learned about the industry through meeting people and doing day work on boats. And then I came back to the UK. Worked on building sites for a while I paid for my first few tickets, got the STCW under my belt, got a few day skipper and yacht master sort of tickets going through, and then went back out. And I actually found work fairly easily online. Yachty agencies were just coming around. I did a telephone interview and quickly flew out to a boat that winter to join a boat in Italy, which is the first boat I worked on. And it was a beautiful, it was a super yacht. Would probably be a big statement for the boat. She was 76 foot, an Italian wooden built boat. She was a classic yacht, but she was a big boat for me at the time. And that was great. And joined the captain there, and we took the boat and spent a lot of time in Genoa. The owner of the house had a house in Portofino, and we'd spend our time giving them great weekends as a family boat. And that was a great time. And then big long summer holidays for a couple of years, just traipsing around the Italian coast and doing all the islands. And it was as a young man working somewhere, you're having to learn to speak a different language. You're in a port full time. We were definitely a boat that lived in a port rather than being transient through a lot of ports, which you see. So you got to know all the local dock walkers and local people walking around, the security guards who let you in and out everywhere. I could argue my way to the front of a fuel dock with Italian words, enough words to get me to the front of the fuel dock in Italian. You know, you pick up all of this sort of the lingo. And Italians tend to speak with their hands more than they do with actual words. that was a fantastic entry into the industry. It was working on an old yacht, you get to, and working with a small crew. There were only three of us, the captain and his wife and me. And she was an old boat, you know, she was a classic, all wood, and you get to learn all the ins and outs, you know, trying to help a Italian refrigeration engineer hack through a 30-year-old refrigerator to try and get it working again, or pulling engines apart or replanking different parts of boats. You're involved in everything, which I think was always been a benefit of the superyacht industry in my mind. You, whatever level you are, you get to be involved in all the components of the boat and learn so many different skills. As long as you've got your head screwed on, you can apply those to other places.
Yeah, it ends up in an environment where you've got to get on with people. You've got to be a bit of a grafter and get on with jobs and make things happen. Otherwise, you know about it. Basically,
no, completely. And you've got to, yeah, it's problem solving, which is one of the life's useful skills. And like you say, and meeting people, I think that's genuinely a lot of what you do. Yeah, I mean, partly the job is a leisure job, isn't it? You're hosting people on their holidays. So, you know, your hotel staff in some ways of the job. And in other parts of the job, you are, you know, a professional mariner maintaining a boat and keeping it moving. So that was a great boat to start on. I love Genoa. I know a lot of people have bad experiences in Genoa, but it was a fantastic place to be based for 18 months, 2 years. It was an interesting boat to live on. I did learn a lot, you know, of what people's expectations were on boats. I definitely had a couple of friends who'd come to see the beautiful boat that Doug's working on, and then they were amazed off their big power yachts when they came and saw that I lived in the forepeak with the sails. That's where I was on that boat, and I was perfectly happy with that at the time, but they wouldn't pass many of the regs now for accommodation on boats for crew. I was living with a I think I was on the tumble dryer. There was an anchor hanging next door to me. I had my clothes hanging in a net above my head, and I was shoved on top of the mainsail pretty much. That was where I lived. So it was cramped, but yeah, it was a fun boat to be on. And lots of good times on that boat. And great to see a coast in Italy. Yeah, the Italian coast is beautiful. So fantastic to do lots of cruising around there.
Yeah, and it's a young man's game though. So at this point you're in the thick of yachting really. And
yeah,
I always hear this phrase, either you reject yachting or yachting rejects you. Something happens. Yeah. there's some kind of event or realization that actually maybe you want to be shore based or want to work up the ladder within yachting.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, I moved on to another boat, a bigger boat after that, a big 53-meter, and that was built in Vitters, and that boat was amazing. Yeah, that was a proper super yacht, 53-meter boat, 60-meter mast, joined at the commissioning. And at that point, that was really cool because you got to see a lot of the tech. You know, you were involved with fitting and as things were being completed on the boat. So that was a really neat job. And I guess that's where that built my technical interest in the marine side. You know, I was reading manuals on generators or looking at winches, you know, pulling big winches apart and servicing them and doing all that sort of jobs that definitely built up my technical aspirations, I guess. I joined that boat and did a world tour on that. We crossed the Atlantic. We went across the Pacific, went up north to Japan. The boat was heavy into diving, so that was fun being involved in all of that and kitting the things out. So that was 3 and a bit years on board that boat, pretty much nonstop looking after the boat. And then that point, I decided to leave. I thought it was just have a bit of a break. I've been pretty busy on boats for quite a while. And as we left the boat, came back to the UK and went to go back racing again in the UK and for the summer holidays, just join a bunch of boats and go racing again. Was in Cowes, met a girl, and that was your point there, the point of leaving super yachting, basically, was I met a girl, and it wasn't really going to be for going forward a wise idea if I kept on disappearing on boats forever. So I started looking around for a real job, as they say in real jobs. did a bit of boat building, and then a job at Spinlock came around, and it's been about just over 8 years at Spinlock, which is fantastic. And you have a lot of, I think there's a life change completely in that working environment compared to being on a yacht or even boat building or that sort of side of it. You know, you move to an office base, lots more phone conversation, you know, Zoom, Skype conversations, and being able to put your thoughts around properly on an email. I think that's something I had to pick up fairly fast Writing was never my strongest point, probably, and it was one thing I had to learn fairly quickly with being involved in the technical support. Email's a big thing with business, and in the super yacht industry, I didn't get to the stage where I was doing email every day. I wasn't a captain. I was still a glorified chamois technician for a lot of it, but able to do a lot of interesting work around that as well. And so coming to Spinlock, which is a fantastic company to work for.
I mean, it kind of makes sense because I mean, you said you were hardcore sailing during university, probably more so than uni, and then Spinlock is kind of all that equipment and very much the same environment or at least very similar. So it kind of makes sense for your story to end up at Spinlock.
It feels like it's made sense. Certainly, it's always been a great fit. Spinlock is a very innovative company. It's design led, which is great. It's really interesting to be. We're quite small as a sales team. I mean, that's one of the things. So you do get to be involved with the projects, and my experience from super yachts, I could feedback on what was going to work, what wasn't going to work. I'd had practical knowledge of working with the products. I'd read the manuals. I'd serviced the products on the boats. I'd used the life jackets at that point as well, and looked after and those. So I started with, like you say, a knowledge of the brand and the product, which was great. But then no knowledge of business really, and I think that was, starting off at Spinlock was what I've learned from the team there. And very rapidly, you get excited about it. Business is an interesting thing to work in, and building the business has been helping to grow the sectors of the businesses. It's been good fun. It's enjoyable, and the marine industry is great to work in. I still think at the end of the day, although we work for a manufacturing company, we are working in a leisure industry. We are still making sure that the person on their boat, which wherever it is, at the end of the day is having a fun day sailing for that, whichever, how many other days sailing they get of the year. They're enjoying their sailing at the end of the day. In some way, it's still a leisure based industry that we work in. Even if you're manufacturing hardware for yachts, you're still making sure somebody's having fun on that yacht at the end of the day is the main aim and the goal. And your equipment's not upsetting them and destroying that day sailing. You want to make sure you're the one making enabling that.
Yeah, and you end up seeing it in the people you work with, like at trade shows. There's a certain nature of person that is in the marine industry, and their interests and their expertise. It's all around a kind of overarching leisure culture. And I speak to some businesses that kind of say, "Well, don't go into the marine industry for money. Like, just it's just full of passionate people that just want to be in that environment and that industry." And so that's where they ended up. But yeah, I suppose that's kind of why we have ended up choosing yachting and the marine leisure industry to be a part of.
Yeah, I think certainly it's a fun industry, and it's full of personalities, which is also great. The people you meet, whether it's an owner of a boat or it's a captain, whether you're speccing products for it, it's great to do that. And I think one of the benefits is as well, there are so many great companies in the marine industry. Spinlock's a great company to be involved in. We're always developing new products, and it's great to be able to introduce these new products to people. And that's a really fun thing to do when you've got brand new product you're excited about, because we're in the leisure industry and we're excited by the leisure industry. We know other people are going to be excited by it too. And I think working at Spinlock is it's a great opportunity to do that sort of side of it. And a lot of my work now is actually involved in growing the commercial sector of the business. So selling to industrial customers, more like wind farm technicians, people who are working on pilots on boats. So I mean that's exciting as well. I think that they have less of the, they're still excited about their jobs, but less of that same reason maybe we're in the marine industry that we work in the leisure side, they have a different view on it. They're working at sea and they're working in the water, and that's an interesting thing that's been, certainly the last five years at Spinlock, a lot of my life has been developing that business, which it's an exciting realm to be in. It's really some amazing stuff going on in the marine industrial sector as well as the leisure side, and it's cool to be involved in that side of it as well.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's an exciting time, and with a bit of optimism, I look at 2020, 2021, and just say, well, it's actually shook and shaken everything up and made it actually in some ways more interesting, with new opportunities opening up and different ways of operating. But Doug, thank you so much for coming on and telling us about your experiences and your career. So a big thank you from me and our audience.
Not a problem. Well, thank you for having us. And we'll keep watching your content. Keep putting it out. It's great to see new things like this coming and going, and more of it needs to happen in the marine industry. So it's good to see it. Thank you.
All right, brilliant. No problem at all. Everybody, you've been listening to Yachting International Radio, and this is Taylor Tech Stories. Your guest today was Douglas Vincent from Spinlock. And we will see you again next week for next week's episode. Thank you very much, and bye for now.